I start to say good morning, but I guess it's not morning. I'm a creature of habit, right? Okay, well, most amazing thing happened today. I went to get a haircut. That wasn't what was amazing. But while I'm there, the phone rang. The lady answered the phone, and she said, okay, hung the phone up and walked over and took the sign down that said mask required. So we all took off our mask and burned them. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we celebrated the fact that we didn't have to wear the mask. It was like, yay! You know, so it was quite nice to be able to look at somebody and just actually see their whole face for a change. So, okay, tonight I'm going to continue with my series that I've been doing on Sunday morning with Following God. You know, the Bible tells us, says, if the Lord be God, then follow him. And that would seem almost like one of those duh statements. You know, if you believe that the Lord is God, why don't you just follow him? But sometimes following God, we have to learn how to follow God. And one of the things that God does is he brings us to points in our life that become turning points. And I guess I'll start with, have you ever experienced in your journey with God a turning point encounter? A turning point, an encounter with God where you knew after that point your life, your relationship with the Lord would never be the same. And of course, our first turning point would be the time that we accepted Christ as Savior. But after that time, as you look back at your spiritual life, can you point to times in your life that were turning points, that God brought you to a point where you had to make a decision, do I follow God or do I turn and go back? And when you make the decision to do what God wants you to do, you know from that point forward, your life will never be the same. Well, tonight, we're going to look at the life of Jacob. Jacob experienced 5 significant turning points as he learned to follow God. These are turning points designated by God to help fulfill Jacob's destiny, to fulfill what God had planned for Jacob. But it's interesting because as we look at this, the turning points in the life of Jacob are also part of God's plan for his people Israel, for his son, the Messiah, and for all the redeemed through the ages. For anyone who has ever been, for anyone who is now or will ever be on the journey of following God, we can take these turning points in the life of Jacob and we can apply them to our lives. Now, most of us are fairly familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau. We're probably most familiar with the contrast between the two. Esau was the oldest. He was a skillful hunter. He was the favorite of Isaac. He was a man of the field. Jacob, on the other hand, was the youngest. He was nicknamed the supplanter, the heel grabber, if you will. He was a peaceful man who stayed in the tents. He was the favorite of Rebecca. And what we're going to look at tonight is the life of Jacob as it related to Esau and the Lord, and how God is going to turn Jacob at 5 points to help bring Jacob along in his walk with the Lord. Let's go ahead and open with prayer. We'll jump right in. Dear Lord, again, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. We ask that you would just help us as we look in your word, Lord, and help us to be able to recognize the turning points in our lives where you have brought us to a point where if we are willing to submit to you, our lives will never be the same. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, we know about the contrast between Jacob and Esau, but perhaps the biggest contrast is their attitudes toward the birthright. And this particular birthright that is going to involve Jacob and Esau meant being part of the promises that had been made to Abraham and Isaac. Promises that included land, they included a nation, and included descendants. But it also meant being in the line of the Messiah. And that birthright was something that Jacob desperately wanted. Jacob determined he wants that birthright. He knows it's Esau's, but Jacob wants that birthright. So Jacob plotted, and at the most opportune time, managed to buy this coveted birthright for a bowl of pottage. He manages to buy the birthright. The Bible says that Esau despised the birthright. He didn't see it as important enough. But Jacob, he plotted, and he was able to buy this coveted birthright. But then we move ahead 40 years, and we find Isaac. And a lot of times, you know, when you read, if you really don't sit down and keep track of numbers, you don't realize it's 40 years between the birthright and the blessing. 40 years went by. And we move ahead 40 years, and Isaac was concerned that he was near death. And so he desired to bless Esau before he died. But Jacob and Rebekah are going to deceive Isaac. Jacob is going to receive the blessing that was intended for Esau. And, of course, afterwards, Jacob has to flee for his life because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. Now, you can kind of understand that. You can relate to that. That shouldn't surprise anybody. Esau's like, I'm going to kill him. You know, I'm going to kill my brother because, he, you know, the birthright was one thing, but he has now stolen my blessing. So Jacob leaves home, and then he is en route to his uncle Laban's home in Haran. And on the way to Laban's home, he stopped at a place called Luz. And here would be the first turning point experience in Jacob's life. Open your Bibles to Genesis 28. This first turning point experience. Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, notice here, Jacob was not looking for God. Jacob was not expecting an encounter with the Lord at this point. He's tired. He's basically running from his brother. He's looking for a place to just rest. And the Lord comes to him in a dream and reveals himself to Jacob as the God of Abraham and Isaac. He said, I am the God that you have heard so much about. And as God begins then to deal with Jacob, God renews his covenant with the house of Abraham. Look at 28:14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so God renews his covenant that was promised all the way back to Abraham. But then the Lord gave specific promises that just applied to Jacob. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so Jacob, here is his first real encounter with God. He did not go seeking God. God initiated this move. God initiated this encounter with Jacob. And Jacob, when he wakes up, he responds with a vow. he responds with a vow that declared that the Lord would be his God. Genesis 28, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of the sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city that was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So Jacob, he has this dream, he has this vision. But when God deals with Jacob at this point, Jacob knew that his life would never again be the same. Jacob's life is now marked with a new commitment. The next day, Jacob gets up, he travels on. His journey took him 440 miles away from home, from Beersheba to the city of Haran and to the home of Laban. And we know the story. For 20 years, Jacob worked for his uncle Laban. But as God continued to bless Jacob, because God said he was going to bless him, and as God continued to bless Jacob, Laban eventually turns against him. Look at Genesis 31. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Hop down to verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, "Jacob." And I said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." Once again, God initiates this encounter. You know, and that's one thing we see in our spiritual life is, as we are striving, as we're learning to walk with God, God tells us something to do. If we surrender to do it, he lets us continue to do what he called us to do, until he comes back to us again and says, "Now I have something else for you to do." He expected Jacob to continue doing what he was doing until God came to him and says, "Now I have something different for you." So once again, God initiates this encounter. The Lord told Jacob, he said, "Take your family and return." And when Jacob does, Jacob reaches the second turning point in his life. See, God had promised his presence to Jacob. And now Jacob has to have faith in that promise. And he gathered his family together, he gathered his belongings, and he began the long journey back to Canaan. See, there was an issue, though, that this time it's going to be different. The first time he was leaving Canaan, he was headed down to stay with his uncle. This time now God has said, "You need to go back." Well, this is going to be a little riskier, because there's an issue that he's going to have to deal with. It's an issue named Esau. He now has to face his brother Esau, whom he has greatly wronged. The Lord says, "I need you to get up and I need you to go back." But Jacob's a little concerned. He sent messengers to his brother. He sent messengers to his brothers, and to his brother Esau, and the messengers come back and say Esau's on his way and he's got 400 guys with him. Not what you wanted to hear. Yeah, he's got 400 guys with him. And Jacob, the Bible tells us, became greatly afraid and distressed. You can understand why. And Jacob begins to, he's afraid, he's fearful. And in his distress, he sent his family away. He sends his family away. He breaks up his entire group. He sent his family away, and he went off alone to be with the Lord. And this encounter then would be the third turning point in Jacob's life. Look at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, I'll stop at 31. Now, Jacob separates from his family. You know, he's going to go off to be alone. He's scared. He's worried. He has no idea what's fixing to happen. All he knows is Esau's headed his way with 400 guys. The last time he heard from Esau, he heard, "I'm going to kill you." And so Jacob goes off to be alone. Now, what's interesting, we don't know who Jacob thought this guy was. Now, there's not a whole lot of light out in the middle of nowhere in the night. We don't know how this encounter even takes place. We just get the information at the beginning, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Maybe he thought it was a robber. Maybe he thought it was Esau, and Esau was just going to beat him up early. Maybe he thought it was one of Esau's men. We don't know who Jacob thought this was. You know, we have no idea. All we know is he encountered a man with whom he began to wrestle. Maybe Jacob was sitting there. Maybe his head was down. Maybe he was thinking, "What am I going to do?" And someone walked up behind him and touched him on the shoulder. And boy, the wrestling match was on. You know, he was scared. You know, we don't know. We don't know who Jacob thought this person was. But he sure didn't think that it was God. That was not who Jacob was expecting. Often in our life, we may think our struggle is with another person or another situation, when in reality, our struggle is actually with God. Our struggle that we're going through, the stress that we're going through, the frustration that we're going through, we may think it's because of other individuals, when in reality, God's trying to get our attention, and we are too blind to realize that our struggle is actually with God. The Bible tells us the two struggle together until daybreak. Now, it was never the case that God wasn't powerful enough to defeat Jacob. You know, God was never in danger of losing this wrestling match, because the Bible says he simply had to touch Jacob's thigh. It wasn't Jacob physically that God was wrestling with, if you will. In reality, it was Jacob's will. God was trying to defeat Jacob's will, because God has got something else he wants Jacob to do, but Jacob to this point still hasn't completely surrendered his will to the Lord. And so they wrestled until God had to touch Jacob's hip. He had to cause Jacob physical pain. And you have to, maybe you could think back in your life where God was trying to get you to do something and you felt the struggle and you felt the struggle and you wouldn't surrender and you wouldn't surrender to the point that God actually has to cause you physical pain. I need your attention. I'm going to get your attention. We've wrestled. I've tried to break your will. You won't surrender. And so now God has to cause physical pain. And when God caused the physical pain, then we realize that God has been struggling with us, God has been wrestling with us to try to bring us to a point that we will surrender to His will. How often do we cause ourselves to suffer physical pain because we are unwilling to surrender? God in His mercy and grace is willing to let us experience pain in order to bring us to the point of surrender. God knows what He wants us to do. And if we resist and resist and we struggle, God may allow us to experience physical pain to bring us to the point that we will finally surrender to His will. And when Jacob realized that he could not win, he chose to surrender the contest. When God finally touched his hip, then he realized who had been wrestling with. Yeah, when God finally touched his hip, Jacob went, "Oh my goodness, this ain't Esau. This ain't just a man." Yeah, he realized then that he had been wrestling with God, and he chose to surrender the contest. But he continued then to hold fast to God and seek His blessing. And Jacob was finally brought through this then to the place where he could fully trust in God. He had seen the trustworthiness of God through the past 20 years in Haran. He had seen God bless and bless and bless and bless. But blessings are one thing. To be told to go back and face your brother who wants to kill you, that's a little bit different story. Well, putting my faith in God when He's given me blessings is one thing. Trusting the Lord when He says, go back and talk to your brother who wants to kill you, well, that's a little bit different story. But God wanted him to go back, and he's wrestling with that. He's struggling with that. He is not yet to the point where he would completely surrender his will to the Lord. Now, he had spent 20 years in Haran. Those years had not been without difficulties. But in the midst of the difficulties, God had always been faithful to the promises that He had made Jacob at Bethel. God had promised him at Bethel several things, and God had always fulfilled those promises to Jacob. And it's interesting because the promises that God gave Jacob at Bethel are the same promises that God has given us in Jesus Christ. One of the things that God promised Jacob at Bethel was His presence. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We get the same promise that God gave Jacob. We have that same promise through Jesus Christ. God promised Jacob His protection. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom." Jacob was promised God's provision. John chapter 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." See, Jacob had been promised all of these protections, blessings, and everything from God. Now it was time for Jacob to reach that turning point where he turned and put his full trust in the Lord. And it's interesting because those same promises made to Jacob are the same promises that we have through Jesus Christ. This encounter with God was the most crucial turning point in Jacob's life because this encounter changed Jacob on the inside. The victories and the assurances that only God can give became his. He completely surrendered his will. If Jacob is to prevail now, however, it would only be by the hand of God. No longer was Jacob going to prevail by cunning. He had prevailed earlier by plotting and catching Esau when he was hungry. He had prevailed earlier by deceiving his old father. Well, Jacob's not the same man as he used to be. He's now limping. And so if he's going to prevail, it won't be because of Jacob. It will be strictly because the hand of God will be on Jacob, and it will have nothing to do with the cunning or strength of Jacob. So the next morning, Jacob limped out to meet Esau. The two brothers met, they wept, and they parted at peace with one another. And from the meeting with Esau, we know that Jacob is going to move his family down to Shechem. And at Shechem, Jacob's going to learn the tragic lesson of what happens when God's people mix with the ungodly influences of Canaan. And for 10 years, Jacob is going to live at Shechem. He allows idols to become part of his household. But it's interesting because he also failed to fulfill part of the vow that he had made that first night at that first turning point. He vowed that he would give 10% of everything that he had to the Lord. And that part of his vow he had not yet fulfilled. And so Jacob, he's been reaping the blessings, but there was that one part of the vow that he had not fulfilled and given to God. Well, Genesis 34 then tells us that his time at Shechem is not going to be pleasant. Jacob's daughter Dinah is attacked. Jacob's sons sought revenge through a bloody massacre. But it would be even in this crisis situation that Jacob is brought to the fourth turning point in his walk with God. Look at Genesis 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. That's God's protection. They were afraid of Jacob as he moved through. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Jacob is instructed at this point, leave Shechem and go to Bethel. And you know what's really interesting? It's 15 miles. It's 15 miles from Shechem to Bethel. And yeah, I know there's a good lesson in there. He was that close to being exactly where God wanted him to be. He stopped 15 miles too early. Just, you have to wonder how different the story would be if he had never stopped at Shechem and he had went on to Bethel where he had first met God. But Jacob is instructed to go to Bethel, to the very place where God first met with Jacob 30 years earlier. And Jacob responds with prompt obedience. He ordered his family to put away their idols, purify themselves, change their garments, and that they were going to all worship the true God at the altar that Jacob would build. Jacob knew that he could not follow God and remain in Shechem. Well, eventually, Jacob will move his family further southward, On the way, Rachel will die, giving birth to Jacob's 12th son, Benjamin. And at 108 years old, Jacob settled in Hebron. At 108 years old, you see all of these turning points in Jacob's life where God has dealt with him and has been able to lead him from one place to the other. Each time, Jacob is growing more spiritually strong. But the final turning point in Jacob's life occurs when Jacob stops at Beersheba before continuing his journey to Egypt. The years at Hebron had not been peaceful. Jacob's older sons hated the firstborn son of Rachel, which was Joseph, and they announced to Jacob one day that Joseph had been killed by wild beasts, when in reality they had sold their brother into slavery in Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land. Jacob sent his older brothers to Egypt, sent the older brothers, rather, to Egypt, and through a series of events, the brothers discovered that the one they had sold into slavery was now second only to the Pharaoh. Well, Joseph is going to invite the family, going to invite Jacob and the family to move to Egypt where they could be cared for. But it's interesting here because before Jacob would leave Canaan, now there's no question they need food. There's no question Jacob knows that Egypt has what his family needs. But before Jacob was willing to leave Canaan for Egypt, he stopped at Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God. And here Jacob would experience the final turning point in his life. Because here was the problem. All of the promises of God were in Canaan, not Egypt. And Jacob, at this point in his life, wanted God's promises. And so he sought direction at Beersheba. Look at Genesis 46. Genesis 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. For he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. God reassured Jacob that his promises were good in Egypt, not just in Canaan. God would go with Jacob to Egypt, and God promised Jacob that Joseph would be the one who would close Jacob's eyes in death. Jacob, at the age then of 130 years old, rejoiced to see Joseph in Egypt. He would live there for 17 years and see his family receive outstanding care. He would even live long enough to pronounce a blessing on Joseph's sons. Jacob saw himself aligned finally with his fathers, Abraham and Isaac. They followed God, and Jacob did as well. Genesis 48, verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Jacob said, God has taken care of me. Now, this is not where Jacob started. Jacob, his first encounter with God is when he was running because he had been a supplanter, because he had been a deceiver. But God initiated a confrontation with Jacob. And you see Jacob reach a turning point. Later, God initiates another confrontation. and you see Jacob turn. And time after time after time, Jacob learns to walk with God until we reach the end of Jacob's life. And he said, the God who has fed me, the God who has taken care of me, the God who has cared for me all my life. Jacob knew that God had cared for him and had led him through difficult days and had sustained and blessed him through many turns in his journey. The Bible tells us that Jacob gathered up his feet into his bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. A journey of 147 years, one filled with many tears and many joys, finally came to an end. Throughout his life, Jacob journeyed through times of doubt and fear, hardship and danger, and peace and trust. He learned surrender and faithfulness to God. See, our walk with God is not something that we just get up one morning and decide to do. It's a learning process. God brings us to a point, and then he challenges us, and he moves us in a different direction. And we continue, we grow, and then he brings us to another turning point. And no matter how Jacob responded to the circumstances in his life, God was always faithful. He was always unchanging. He was always true to his promises. He spent 140 years working with Jacob. He would bring him to the point, and he would work with Jacob until Jacob was willing to surrender. And he would walk with God some more, and he would come to another turning point, and he would surrender, and he would continue to walk with God. The Bible says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But following God is a process. And sometimes we go, you know, well, I've been doing the same thing for years. I've been doing, God called me to do this. Maybe he called you to bake cookies on Wednesday night. Well, you know, you keep baking cookies till God says, now I'm going to turn you. Maybe God wants to turn some of you that are getting ready to graduate. Maybe he wants to turn you. He says, I got something for you to do. Maybe he's working in your heart. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're wrestling. He's waiting on you to surrender. And then you'll turn. And then you'll be able to go on and reap the blessings that God has for those who are willing to follow him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we again thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to look in your word. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to be willing to learn, to walk with you, Lord, and help us to understand that that there will be times when you want us to go in a different direction, Lord, and that if we will simply surrender to your will, Lord, then we'll see the growth and the blessings that you promise to those who are obedient to you. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we go into our prayer time. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.